Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:54 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is November 3rd. Well, this was a big day for gold in here today, and let's talk about more about that in a moment. First, to review what's been happening in markets, and we remain within this reversionary process on stock markets. Asia, Nikkei was down by over 2%, the Hang Seng down by about 1.75%, the ASX was a little bit it's firmer in here today, down just very slightly. Korea and India were both a bit weaker in here today. And Indonesia, having pulled back from the recent highs, it still remains very much within this three-month ranging phase. And China, having had an upward dynamic yesterday, followed through on that performance today and is reasonably close to moving to a new recovery high. In Europe, the majority of indices were down between 1 and 2%, and as we approach the close on Wall Street, the Dow is down very slightly, the S&P up very slightly, as is the NASDAQ. Brazil is a little bit firmer in here today as well, finding support in the region of this 60,000 level. In the rest of the financial markets, bonds were a little bit weaker in here today. The U.S. Treasury down by 28 ticks. Gilts and bunds were both down by less than half of 1%. And in the commodity complex, very much influenced by what happened in the dollar, the dollar was really quite firm earlier on today. And the euro got down to 146.26, but is closing out the day around 147.10. So we on the dollar index we have the this rather large tail to the upside, and intraday the dollar got a little bit weaker and gold really took off. It had been down around the 1,055 level earlier on in the day, as that dollar was firmer, but as the dollar weakened, gold was up by over $25, 31 on the futures. Silver was up 83 cents, platinum up $23, and with gold, that's pushing upwards to a new recovery high. Now, that's at least in part due to news that the IMF sold half of its allotment to India, without putting that gold onto the onto the wider market, and that has taken at least some pressure out of the bearish argument that there is an overhang of supply above this market. And certainly with a number of stock markets particularly, but also corporate bonds and sovereign bonds moving into a correct, or well, not moving into, but actually in a corrective phase and a reversion towards their means, well, gold really does look like in a position that it can outperform. And at $1,084, it has sustained the move above $1,000 really quite well. And this, if we look at that short-term chart, this is the third time that it has broken up upwards emphatically from a one-month consolidation. This is the third one of those little consolidations, and it remains remarkably consistent. If it is going to maintain the current pattern, which has been in evidence for much of the last 4 or 5 months, we'd expect it to begin to push upwards, push perhaps towards the 1100 mark and move into another one of these little ranges. And that would be very much in line with the consistency characteristics that it has been forming over the last 4 or 5 months. Of course, there is potential that as participation grows in the gold market, then we could have it picking up pace, and that would be very much in line with what it's done in the last two occasions when it's broken upwards from these 18-month consolidations, and it has emphatically completed another one of those 18-month consolidations and is pushing onwards once more. So very bullish activity. In this type of environment, one would expect that other precious metals like silver, platinum, potentially palladium, and indeed the gold shares would be outperforming. We don't have that just yet. Silver hasn't moved to another recovery high. Although it has moved up 83 cents today, a fantastic upward dynamic. It found support in the region of the $16 level. Importantly, both silver and platinum held to the progression of higher reaction lows, which is their primary consistency characteristic. Those chart patterns are more volatile than gold, which would contribute to their high beta status relative to the gold price. But if we are seeing gold push upwards in a meaningful way, which is certainly what appears to be occurring, then it is increasingly looking like that silver and platinum will be playing, have plenty of potential to play a catch-up advance. Today was also a relatively firm day for the industrial metals. Copper, having been as low as 289 cents, closed out the day around 297, so closed well off its lows and just up on the day. And the rest of the industrial metals also rallied off their lows. So we do have this little bit of a tie still to what's happening with the dollar. And we're starting to see that gold is breaking away from its correlation with stock markets, and that's certainly a powerful indication that it is taking on not only a life of its own, but certainly more also attracting money out of stock markets and back into this precious metal as a safe haven during what remains a corrective phase. I did an interview this morning with NDTV Profit in India. I do them relatively regularly. But one of the questions they asked me was really set me to thinking. They said that are we in a corrective phase within a bull market, or is there a cause for panic? And certainly there is no cause for panic. I think there is a two things that can easily be said about panicking in the markets. One is that it is never a good thing to be panicky, but if one is going to panic, then panicking early would be the wise move. We are moving into a reversion. Well, we are in a reversionary type environment, and that's something that is quite consistent with a bull market. A large number of stock markets, particularly, but also corporate and emerging market bonds and a number of commodities became relatively overextended when compared to their 200-day moving averages. They ran ahead of themselves somewhat, and we are in a reversionary type environment where they increasingly look like they're pulling back towards their 200-day moving averages. In Europe, the majority of stock markets have now broken their progressions of higher reaction lows. A number of Asian markets and a number of Latin American markets have done the same thing. So the commonality that we had prior to a couple of weeks ago is breaking down. Increasing numbers of markets are breaking their progressions of higher reaction lows, which suggests that we are in this corrective phase. And watching those weekly charts is now probably the best way to monitor markets. Over the last couple of months, we have been looking more at those daily charts because we've been monitoring the progressions of higher reaction lows. But now that a large number of those lows have been taken out, returning to those weekly charts is probably the better way to monitor the markets because we can look at that 200-day moving average and see it relatively easily. Now, the Chinese market remains a template. It needn't necessarily be that aggressive a pullback for most markets. But what we saw with China was that it pulled back aggressively in August, found support relatively quickly in the region of the moving average, and has been ranging with an upward bias over the last couple of months and is pressuring the recovery highs as we speak. The other template, of course, is what we're seeing in a couple of the other Asian markets where they've been ranging for the better part of a few months. For example, if you look at Singapore, it's been ranging for nearly 4 months in a relatively tight range. It's lost momentum quite considerably. And when it began that range, it was really quite overextended relative to that moving average. And this is another way for it to unwind that overextended condition and revert back towards its mean. And they're, of course, going to be hybrids in the same type of environment. Now, one of the prime characteristics that's evolved, particularly over the last 3 months, has been that inverse correlation between the dollar and a number of different risk assets. And the dollar hasn't rallied emphatically in here, but we are coming back down to a potential area of support around that 70 area on the dollar index. And the dollar index is currently around 76, so there is still potential for it to go back down there and test the lows. But bearishness towards the dollar is getting up there towards a peak, and we are in this corrective phase for some risk assets. So one of the sources of people betting against the dollar is being removed as leverage is being unwound from some of these risk assets. And we're probably coming towards a point where it wouldn't be too surprising to see a mean reversionary type rally in the dollar over the short to medium term. But over the medium to longer term, there is still plenty of potential for the dollar to go back down there and test the lows or potentially even make new lows. But in the short term, we do face that reversionary risk in the dollar in very much the same way that we see for a number of these risk assets. So in this type of environment, we are getting increasingly close to the next favorable buying opportunity in stock markets. The precious metals are outperforming in no uncertain terms, and gold in particular is very much following the template that it has formed for itself over the last number of years. And the commodity complex generally is benefiting from the failure of the dollar to rally. Now, if we do see a more meaningful rally in the dollar, that will put pressure on some of these commodities. But with gold beginning to rally now and breaking away from its reliance on stock markets, and it was reasonably firm in here today, even though the dollar was firm earlier on in the day, there is still potential that gold can move upwards in line with a dollar rally if it is based upon a hedging against a reactionary or corrective environment in stock markets. So there, it's still all to play for, but we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside for these precious metals. And as has been the case for a number of months, they would need to break the progressions of higher reaction lows to question potential upside. In the bond markets, there's not too much to say. The long bond remains below this 120 level where it's been ranging around for much of the last few months. If we move into a more panicky kind of environment, and as I said, there's really never an excuse for panicking in the markets, although certainly it is a temptation from time to time. But bonds have that short-term potential to rally, but the chances are that if they have any kind of meaningful rally, that is going to be a good shorting opportunity. What we can expect is as this corrective phase moves onwards, the temptation to become more bearish will increase, and that is something that we will need to resist because we are being set up for a better buying opportunity rather than selling into this weakness. And for longer-term investors, this does continue to look like nothing more than a reversion towards the mean, in which case we're being offered a longer-term buying opportunity rather than a potential move back towards the lows. And we can anticipate that sentiment is going to get considerably more bearish over the coming weeks and potentially months. And it's easy to talk about remaining independent of that sentiment, but because we're still in the relatively early stages of a potentially multi-year bull market, it's still relatively easy to make this bearish case. But we're actually a year into a new bull market. Everything that we've seen in stock markets, particularly over that time frame, has been consistent with the bull market hypothesis, and this reversionary process back towards the mean is very consistent with that bull market hypothesis, and that's something to bear in mind as we see these markets revert towards their mean. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.